I'm Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and former host here at PW Torch Livecast. If you're looking for my shows, they have moved as of July 2017. They're now called the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available through Podcast One. Enter Wade Keller on your podcast app or iTunes and subscribe to the new Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, where I cover Raw and my first show of the week, SmackDown, with my second show of the week, and then the Flagship Edition with a co-host, and we cover a broad array of pro wrestling current events, and then I end the week with a weekly interview. That's the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, now at Podcast One. Subscribe today. Just search Wade Keller.
Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, WWE Battleground is in the books. Did John Cena win his return match against Rusev and fly the American flag? Which woman advances to SummerSlam to fight Naomi for the SmackDown Women's title? And who survived the Punjabi prison and left with the WWE title? Was it Randy Orton or Jinder Mahal? It is July 23rd, 2017, and Wrestling Night in America starts now. Good evening and welcome to the PW Torch Livecast post-Battleground edition. I am Pat McNeil, PW Torch columnist and one of your hosts for this program. And joining me right now on the telephone is our man, Mr. Greg Parks. Hold on a moment. There we go. And Greg, are you there? Can you hear me?
I got you, Pat.
Okay. Well, we got off the air a little bit late, but at 11:15 Eastern Time, the WWE Battleground is over, and probably the big story coming out of tonight is that the great Khali returned, helped Jinder Mahal, and Jinder Mahal is still the WWE World Heavyweight Champion, whatever. Greg, what do you have to say about our third ever Punjabi prison match?
It fit in with the rest of the show, I'll say that. This was, to me, not just a bad show. This is the kind of show that makes you worried for the booking on the SmackDown brand. This wasn't bad, inoffensive tripe. This was bad, bad stuff. I mean, aside, the only thing really redeeming about this show was the opening tag match. Everything else was...
That was good.
Yeah. Everything else was just there at best. You know, Shinsuke Nakamura had another match where, you know, it felt like their match was almost a come-down match, him and Baron Corbin, from a very hot opener with the Usos and New Day, in which the New Day won the tag team titles. And then you had AJ Styles and Kevin Owens in a match that didn't feel like it was up to par for what they can do and for what they've done in the past.
Right.
You had John Cena and Rusev in an overly dramatic flag match that tried way too hard to be dramatic and didn't succeed. And then you had a Punjabi prison match, which the great Khali showing up was the best thing you could say about it. And when that's the best thing you can say about a match, that tells you a lot about the quality.
The Singh brothers took some pretty nasty bumps, too.
As they usually do. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of become... a joke at this point about how the Orton Mahal matches have all followed the same basic formula, no matter what kind of match they've had. The Singh brothers interfere, Orton takes them out in dangerous/scary spots, you know, and it just, by the third time you've seen it, or fourth time, or however many times it's been now, it just gets repetitive and it just gets tiring.
Yeah, that's probably as good a way as any to describe it. Let's run down the other matches quick before we get started here. We do have one match signed for SummerSlam now. It is going to be Naomi defending the WWE SmackDown Women's title against Natalya. And really, out of everybody in that match, Natalya was kind of not my pick. I like Natalya. I like the final couple minutes with her and Charlotte. I just did not see them going to Natalya for a major match.
The strongest part of that match was certainly the last few minutes, as you mentioned, with Natalya versus Charlotte. You know, we kind of talked about this on Wrestling Night in America last weekend, Pat, about, you know, the two top women in that match were Charlotte and Becky Lynch, yet they've both been positioned as babyfaces, and Naomi's a babyface. So would they do a babyface match at SummerSlam? If you eliminate Becky and Charlotte, then you're left with Lana, Tamina, and Natalya. And of those three, I guess Natalya makes the most sense. And, you know, that's kind of a match I'm looking forward to. It's not a women's match that's really been run into the ground. I think Natalya and Naomi has the potential to be a pretty good women's match at SummerSlam.
Yeah, and I guess the other thing we have to say is Kevin Owens is the U.S. champion for a third time. He beat AJ Styles, and he beat AJ Styles clean in the middle of the ring. Okay, I'm guessing based on this, we're going to see this match again at SummerSlam in some form or another.
True. It was clean, but it was done in a way that still kind of gives Styles an out, I think, in that he had a submission move on Kevin Owens as Owens just sort of lucked into pinning Styles there. Styles' shoulders on the mat for the finish. So certainly Styles will be owed a rematch, whether they do that on SmackDown or, Pat, as you said, continue this feud on to SummerSlam. SummerSlam would be my guess as to where they would have that rematch.
Also, we should mention John Cena is back on pay-per-view. He had a long match with Rusev in a flag match, a 21-minute flag match, where even though John Cena promised an old-school flag match, the rules of the flag match are now apparently you bring down your flag, carry it across the finish line, and stand it on a special pedestal that each wrestler had a pedestal. Greg.
It made for a lot of those ladder match type spots where the person is slowly climbing. We saw that in the Punjabi prison match at the end too, but you know, you had Rusev and Cena making the slow climb up the turnbuckle first to get the flag. And then you had them make the slow walk down the aisle so that the other person could catch up to them. Then you had them make the slow climb up the podium to put the flag in the hole there. So it was just a lot of, like I said earlier, they made it seem very dramatic with all these big setups and big moments in the match, but I didn't think the crowd was with those moments, and it didn't come across as dramatic as I think they intended.
You know, they've got to remember Jim Ross is not lead announcer anymore, because Jim Ross would have been talking. He would have been comparing this to Iwo Jima and had some John Wayne references and, you know, Bridge on the River Kwai. And instead, we just had two guys dragging themselves down the aisle with, you know, carrying flags.
I don't know if JR would have saved it, but I think that's the type of match where he would have added to it.
Enhanced, yes, that's the word we're looking for. Okay, other stuff that actually happened on this show. Sami Zayn got his win back. He defeated Mike Kanellis, who apparently his name in WWE was going to be Maria's husband, because that's what they kept calling him. Of course, we mentioned Natalya won the women's match, and yes, Nakamura beat Baron Corbin by disqualification when Corbin hit a Greco-Roman stomp to the gonad. So that's another match we might be seeing again.
And this is another show, while I'm on a roll here, this is another show where the finishes, man, you know, the last three or four pay-per-views, and this isn't just exclusive to SmackDown, I'm counting the Raw brand shows in this and the combined brand shows as well. There's been about two or three matches on every show at least that have finishes that are just completely unsatisfying, You know, the count out finishes, as we saw in Shinsuke Nakamura versus Baron Corbin, the intentional DQ after a very lackluster match. The finishes have just been really awful lately, and this was a show that, you know, the match quality wasn't good either, again, aside from that opening match, but you couldn't even say, well, at least a lot of the finishes made sense or the finishes were satisfying. They were very unsatisfying finishes to go along with it.
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement. They were, that didn't work out well. Well, I did like the finish of the opening match. I got to say that. And yes, New Day has the SmackDown tag titles back, and they're going to feud with the Usos. And basically, as long as they can deliver that kind of match every month, you know, you can keep this going for a while, I think.
Sure, and it's disappointing, I think, that the SmackDown tag division is so shallow beyond New Day and the Usos, because they're doing a great job, but you get afraid that once they break off from each other, which eventually they're going to have to do, you know, where do they go from here? Does New Day go on and face the Ascension? I mean, they're not going to keep their heat doing that. So you hope that by the time these two teams do separate from one another and go their separate ways, that there's another tag team ready to step up and meet the challenge, because these two teams have done a fantastic job the last few months. And both of these teams came into this feud relatively cold. You know, the Usos were fighting American Alpha. They hadn't really heated up there because Alpha was so cold. New Day was moved to SmackDown, which was a needed breath of fresh air after it felt that they run their course on Raw. So both of these teams are I think, if the trajectory continues, going to come out of this feud both looking better.
Yeah, that's true. Speaking of tag teams, Breezango was supposed to find out who attacked them tonight. We did not. I guess we determined once again that it wasn't the Ascension, as the Ascension tried to claim it was them. So, don't know. I like my idea of having a couple of the British guys do it, because, you know, the UK thing is not really... The UK show doesn't seem to be happening right now. Or you could have or you can have Harper and Rowan do it, which seem to be a lot of people interested in that idea. Or now that they're signed with WWE, you could have Red Dragon do it. It doesn't matter. You know, as long as it gets done eventually, as long as we find out eventually, I'm not going to spend too much time worrying about it.
Yeah, my idea actually was Sanity. I don't know that they're ready to be called up from NXT right now, but given the darkness, especially what happened on tonight's show, they would make sense to fit in that position.
Yeah, that would. Okay, well, we've done enough here. 515-605-9345. We got people stacked up on hold. We're going to have comments coming in on Twitter. We have the chat room is open. Yes, it is. Wrestling Latin America. Okay. Yes, here we go. From the chat room, Smoke Rates says they went out of their way to make the wrestlers seem as dumb as possible. Well, yeah, kind of. I mean, I can't really argue with that one.
That was my main gripe with the finish of AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens, is Styles is getting his shoulders counted down on the mat, and apparently he didn't realize it or didn't hear the count. I don't know. It was odd.
Okay, tell you what, we are going to take a timeout. Wrestling Night in America will return, so don't touch that dial.
When you want to know when the next episode of the PW Torch Livecast is scheduled or catch up on a show you missed, check out our homepage, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can stream the latest shows right from that page, or download the show, or get a link to subscribe on a podcast app. That's pwtorchlivecast.com for the latest shows, and also catch up on shows you missed at pwtorchlivecast.com.
Torch columnist Pat McNeil, Torch columnist Greg Parks, your top guys covering Battleground, number 515-605-9345. I guess I should mention, Greg, that the pre-show match, it was Aiden English winning a match. He defeated Ty Dillinger and looked good doing it, I guess, in as much as you can.
Wow. Okay. I would have guessed Dillinger in that match. Interesting.
I did guess Dillinger, but goes to show what I know. Of course, next week we'll be back at our 8 p.m. start time for Wrestling Night in America, and we get a few weeks before we hit the next major pay-per-view. But let's go to the phones. Let's hear what you, the callers, have to say. We will kick things off tonight into the 305 area code. 305, it's got to be DJ. DJ,
hey,
welcome to Wrestling Night in America.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Just quite the show tonight, DJ.
I guess it was maybe like a 5, 4.5, 5. There's a lot of things that I don't know what they're going. I don't know what they're doing. But my first thing is the Corbin thing. I mean,
yeah.
So he disqualified. So what? Now they're going to go again at SummerSlam. Like, the match was pretty slow as it is. It wasn't that crazy good at what I thought it was going to. I thought, you know, with him being fast and Corbin being strong, it's going to bring a little good, you know, kind of match, but it didn't. It was kind of slow, and now they're doing it again, and I just don't want to see that.
Well, I mean, you've heard, you know, Greg, you've heard the talk about this. Nakamura is banged up. He's working a slower style. He's, you know, he's counting more on his charisma, but we're getting, you know, we're not getting anything on the level of his match with Sami Zayn in NXT when he first came in.
No, and not even close. I thought that Nakamura versus Corbin tonight might be a sort of styles clash. I don't really think that they turned it up enough in that match to where we could even see if it was a styles clash. They had just kept it so slow and so basic. But, you know, I think we all see Nakamura versus Corbin as sort of a step down for Nakamura. But you've got to remember that WWE sees Baron Corbin as probably a future main eventer on SmackDown. He's got the Money in the Bank briefcase. They're doing a bit of a slow build with him. So, you know, putting Nakamura with Corbin as fans probably wouldn't be the decision we would make. But I don't think it's from WWE's end. I don't think they see this as a step down for Nakamura. I think they see this as him working with a guy that they see a lot in the future with Corbin.
Yep, that
okay.
Makes sense. Okay, let's see. Is there what are your other thoughts, DJ?
My other thing is the Cena thing. I mean, that match is really slow and clunky. I mean, is he slowing down? I mean, so they're going to put him on Raw. And then he has such a clunky match, so he's going to have clunky matches at Raw. Like, why are you putting him in both brands? Like, it makes no sense. I don't know what they're doing with him. It's just, I mean, what's his future plans? Because it looks like to me he is getting slower and slower.
Well, I mean, my guess is they will somehow use this to set up John Cena versus Jinder Mahal at SummerSlam, since Randy Orton's been beaten and beaten and beaten and beaten. Yeah, Greg, I mean, I don't think we're going to see a lot of John Cena on television, but I'd expect that they have some plans for him for the next couple pay-per-views.
Yeah, the free agency thing with Cena, I don't know if that's so he can kind of appear on both house shows circuits without really causing a stir, because I don't really see an opening for him on Raw television, really.
Yeah.
So that may just be a house show type thing. I don't know if it's fair to say Cena's slowing down. He hasn't had a match in a while of this caliber. And you got to remember, he's got – I think he wrestled AJ Styles at the Royal Rumble or one of the early 2017 pay-per-views. That's probably up there with the top two or three WWE matches of the year so far. So I don't know if it's fair to say Cena's slowing down based on what we saw out of this match. But – you know, certainly his schedule will be reduced.
Yeah, there also is a difference between, you know, working with AJ Styles and working with Rusev. I mean, and that's...
And working,
I mean,
and really,
you know, but,
not only that, but working this type of gimmick match. You know, this type of gimmick match, the way that it was booked, the way that it was set up, the way that it was executed, was not really meant to be a 4.5-star classic, you know, so you have to take that into account, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, DJ.
All right. See you guys next week. Thanks so much.
Hey, no problem. And that's how you do it. 515-605-9345 here on PW Torch Livecast. Bye-bye. Yeah, as always, we'd like you to hold it to three questions. And when you call, because
while we're waiting for
our next
caller, we'd like to remind you folks calling in to, well, keep your questions within the boundaries of good taste.
Okay. Well, yeah, you know how this works. All right, let's check things out. We're gonna go to Wayne from Detroit, who is standing by. Hold on a moment, Wayne. You're on Wrestling Night with In America. Hello.
How's it going?
Going well.
I actually had thought in my mind that I thought that WWE should bring in the Great Khali for this whole Jinder Mahal title run. I mean, I know that's not the most exciting thing in the world, but I thought it made sense.
Well,
I didn't really like how they executed this tonight. But my first question is, do you think that WWE is going to keep Great Khali around to try to keep the belt on Jinder Mahal as an enforcer, or do you think this was a one-night thing? And my second thing is, personally, I'm just kind of over the Nakamura experiment. I mean, I just think WWE has did a bad job with him. I mean, I understand they look at him as a top guy or trying to create him to be a top guy, but I don't think it's any way that Nakamura should be taking that kind of punishment and you know, going to the wire with that guy. I mean, I think it makes Nakamura look, you know, worse than it makes Corbin look better.
Well, I mean, his style in New Japan, he would take a good amount of punishment, but different set of opponents there. I mean, Greg, my concern is that Nakamura is going to become a verb now for wrestling fans, as in, well, Adam Cole's coming in. I hope they don't Nakamura him.
Yeah, you know, Nakamura is an interesting case to look at. He had a chance to be really special and really stand out, but in today's WWE environment on the main roster, they don't look at guys like that. They look at the guys as a cog in the WWE machine. You know, aside from John Cena, it's almost like they don't want guys to stand out as special attractions. They don't want guys to have that ability to go beyond WWE. They want people to need WWE. It's in their best interest, in the company's best interest, for the wrestlers they have to need to be with that company. So they had a chance to make Nakamura special. Now, for whatever reason, whether that's the reason, whether Vince just didn't see Nakamura as special and just saw him as another top guy, albeit you know, maybe a bit of a slow build. Remember AJ Styles, when he came into the company, he was not immediately a top guy. He sort of earned his way up the ranks, so that still could be in the cards for Nakamura. But, yeah, if there was ever a guy who you wanted to treat as a star, as a special attraction, just based on his uniqueness, it's Nakamura, and WWE has basically thrown that away at this point.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. But I, what I think it is, you know, Triple H runs NXT, Vince runs the main roster, and they're both looking for different things. And they both have different ideas as to what makes somebody a star, you know?
And I think you can tell that based on how the NXT call-ups are used. And you could even, and fans have done this, you can even claim sabotage when they get to the main roster as this power struggle between, you know, the Kevin Dunn types on the main roster who are not buddy-buddy with Triple H and want to diminish Triple H's NXT accomplishments by not necessarily burying guys when they get to the main roster, but not putting them in a position to succeed as well as they could. And Bayley's another example of that, taking these quote-unquote Triple H guys or women and sort of putting them in their place on the main roster. You hope that's not the case, but this is a business of egos, and that's been known to happen before, that sort of thing.
Well, I'm going to try to
follow up
more
to that, if I can.
Yeah, go ahead, Wayne.
I'm sorry. Between AJ Styles, Finn Balor, and Kevin Owens and Nakamura, out of those four, who do you think potentially had the biggest upside coming into WWE? Because I feel like all three of those guys, they handled, you know, better than Nakamura coming in. I'm not thinking they should have shot them straight to the top. But at least they made those guys look strong coming in. I brought in Nakamura and gave him Dolph Ziggler. I mean, I just think starting him off even there, you know, was the wrong thing to do from the beginning.
Okay, well, I mean, out of the names you mentioned, I thought AJ Styles had the biggest upside because, you know, he's somebody who can work that style as we've seen. You know, he can work any main event style you can come up with, and he speaks fluent American. I mean, even if he's a Southerner.
Yeah.
I don't know, Greg, what do you think?
I think they all had their warts coming up. You know, Nakamura not being able to carry the kind of interviews WWE looks for in main event talent. Kevin Owens with his look. You wondered if WWE would push someone who was, not cut and a little overweight. Finn Balor is short. And AJ Styles had the Southern thing, and he's short, and he came from TNA. So that was all you wondered if that was going to be held against him. So none of these guys were perfect coming up, but I think if you took them all equally, I think Nakamura probably had the most upside if WWE used him in a similar manner as NXT, where he was treated as this special attraction, where he was treated as a star from the beginning and not this nonsense where if you haven't done it in WWE, you haven't done it before, that sort of thing that sort of brought him down a little bit.
Yep. That's definitely, that is definitely a Vince McMahon thing there.
Yep.
All right. What else, Wayne?
Oh, no, that's all. I mean, if you could touch on the Great Khali thing, but if not, I understand.
Okay, well, I guess we can do that. Thanks. Wayne's going to drop off for a minute. Great Khali, that was probably the pleasant surprise of the show. Seeing Great Khali come back. I mean, not that Great Khali is a fantastic wrestler. He never was, but...
he didn't have to wrestle,
though.
Why it was such a nice surprise.
He did better in his Punjabi prison match than Big Show did, I can tell you that. Not that that's a huge compliment, but because Big Show was thrown into that at the last minute, literally. I guess the Randy Orton craziness. It's really a debate, I guess, over whether that's better than Great Khali and Batista. It's not a debate I want to spend a good deal of time on. As a matter of fact, I want to do an email. Chris from Las Vegas wrote in a few days ago, so I couldn't help but notice the WWE modification to the Punjabi prison match. The other times they've had this match, what made it so dangerous was the fact that both cages had razor-sharp spikes at the top, as Michael Cole would say. WWE has removed those spikes from both cages, making this a cage match made from bamboo, the most dangerous thing in the match. Now there's no risk of climbing out the top of both. Okay, well, that's actually a good point. But I guess having razor sharp spikes on the top wasn't really PG.
No, not at all. And to answer Wayne's Khali question that he did ask, I do think this is probably a one-off. I can't see Khali going on the road with WWE with, his training school that he's got running and stuff like that.
I don't know. I mean, you're going to bring in Great Khali for Battleground, but you're not going to bring him in for SummerSlam. I think he's in for SummerSlam. Now, I don't think we're going to get an extended Randy Orton versus Great Khali feud around the SmackDown house shows, but I think that they, you know, I see no problem in them bringing him in again for major shows.
I don't know what you do with him. He's so limited, even in a bodyguard role where he would have to conceivably take bumps. I mean, that's kind of what the Singh brothers are doing. He's doubling what they're doing. He was so limited in his last run in WWE to begin with. Now, all these years later, you're bringing him back. I just don't know what value he would add other than, well, he's tall, and maybe that's enough.
Well, I think you're forgetting something. If he wrestles John Cena, you know, John Cena picking up and throwing around the Singh brothers isn't going to be that impressive. John Cena lifting up Great Khali and hitting the attitude adjustment on him, that, you know, that always seems to work.
That's asking a lot for one SummerSlam visual, but I wouldn't put it past WWE.
I mean, this is important to them. How many times are they going to talk about 1.3 billion Indians?
They're never going to shut up about it, I don't think. At least as long as Jinder Mahal has the title, anyway.
Right. So the number is 515-605-9345. We are due for a break. When we come back, we'll take more of your calls. We'll dig deeper into this, and we may even come up with some questions that don't have anything to do with Battleground. Imagine that. Wrestling Night in America continues after this. Time out.
Rich Fan, formerly of the Primetime Friday Laughcast with Bruce Mitchell here. I want to tell you about my new show, The Deep Dive with Rich Fan. On Saturdays at 6 p.m. Eastern weekly, join us as we dive into a single subject, some weeks as serious as race, gender, and stereotyping in wrestling, to as fun as which IC champs could fit into another era, and anything in between. We'll have guests from inside and outside the Torch family to cover the subject of the week, and of course your calls and emails. Prior to each episode, I'll put out on social media the subject and some notes, places where you can also bone up on the subject of the week if you're so inclined. I'll also devote shows to two of my favorite international promotions, New Japan Pro Wrestling and Progress. All are welcome. No secret handshakes here because Saturday nights on the live cast are officially all right for diving.
All right, Wrestling Night in America continues here on PWTorchLiveCast.com. Pat McNeil along with Greg Parks. Say, in case you haven't heard, our man Wade Keller, he has his own show now on podcast, what it's called, the Wade Keller Wrestling Podcast. Check that out on the Podcast One Radio Network. You can subscribe, or if you're a VIP member, just go ahead and download them from our website, because that's how it's going to work. You will get the ad-free versions, and you might actually want the ad-free versions with this one. Anyway, it's the Wade Keller Podcast, and there's a lot going on. Last week, Jack Swagger was on. Last week, Bruce Mitchell was live with Wade Keller, and so was Travis Bryant. Check that out. It's going to be a lot of fun. And maybe someday Greg and I will get on there. Yeah, we'll find out. Anyway, 515-605-9345. Let's keep things rolling here. We had an interesting battleground. The first match was really, really good. The last match was really ponderous, and we had pretty much everything in between. We're going to take this to the 478 area code, where Darrell from Georgia is standing by. Darrell, you're on Wrestling Night in America. Hello.
How you doing, Pat and Greg? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you just fine.
Okay. Well, to start off by saying this pay-per-view with tonight, to me, had to be one of the worst booked pay-per-views that I've seen in a while now. I don't know about anybody else, but I felt like the booking is what hindered a lot of the matches, including maybe the Baron Corbin versus Shinsuke. I felt like the way how it probably was booked, and them knowing that they had some type of funny disqualification with a nut shot, I guess, whatever, probably hindered that match. That would be my first question. Do you think that's a reason?
Well, I mean, really, what's a 3-hour show without a good nut shot? Yeah, I mean, Greg, this is sounding familiar. We've done this several pay-per-views in a row. We've talked about, you know, we have good wrestlers, they're doing good work, and they're oftentimes fighting against whatever the finish is in the booking.
That's one thing you can say about some of the previous shows. I wouldn't go with that for this show. I would say normally the booking hampers the wrestling in the ring. I would say both of them were not up to par tonight. I didn't think, again, I'm going to have to qualify this all night. Aside from the opening tag match, I thought the rest of the wrestling, regardless of the finishes, regardless of how the finishes were booked, I thought the rest of the wrestling on the show was also not all that good.
You know, as a matter of fact, I will go a little bit further than you, Greg. If you're in the audience and you haven't seen this show yet, go watch the opening tag match. Then you don't have to watch the rest of it. Bro, I mean,
yeah, I wouldn't recommend any. There's nothing else on this show I would recommend beyond that opening tag match. There was nothing that you would need to see.
Well, there might be some Kevin Owens fans who would enjoy watching Kevin Owens win the title back, but I don't know, but other than family members, you know, I mean, of the wrestlers involved, it wasn't really, you know, who might want to watch for that reason. There wasn't a lot special going on. Or if you want to see what they did to the flag match, ish. I don't know. All right, let's see. What else, Darrell?
Okay, the reason why I said that is because at the end of that match, I was thinking that they were setting up maybe a SummerSlam match against these two for the briefcase, because he came back in, mm-hmm. hit him with the briefcase, and then put him out with the End of Days. So that's why I was putting in on the book, and I hate to put in on the wrestlers, because I hope that they all give their best effort every time that they come out. And I know sometimes booking can hinder you. Just looking at the booking for tonight's show make me think, second guess everything from overall both shows, and showing that how they've been booking lately, you can't even think that they can get any of these projects that they're trying to get over. The Baron Corbin as future main eventer project, the Jinder Mahal project, even Roman all the way to Big Cass. I don't think they can get none of them over when you look at how they finish and end rivalries or storylines, and the bookings on it so weird with the so-called double pin looking like with AJ Styles, the Kevin Owens throwing him into the referee, not being disqualified because he threw him on purpose. I just don't understand the total booking tonight. This is just, I think y'all was talking about it earlier, looking like sabotage for two powers fighting against one another, one trying to sabotage another power who's getting a claim right now as being the internet savior or something. So that's my whole take on the show. No need to talk about none of the matches really, because they really didn't mean too much. That's my end in saying, when you look at the overall show, do y'all think none of these matches even meant anything? And how does it play into SummerSlam, especially when you might have a women's match that could let down a whole brand of women if it don't turn out to be good or even halfway decent with Natalya and Naomi?
All right, well, we'll tackle this in reverse order. I think Naomi and Natalya will definitely be halfway decent, at least. There's no reason why it shouldn't be a good match. There is a reason why it can't be a good match if they come up with another original, you know, finish that just doesn't lead to a real winner.
Yeah, I agree. I think that could be good. And you know, certainly to say that none of the matches on this show meant anything. You know, we had two title changes on the show, the tag title change and Kevin Owens winning the U.S. title. So, you know, that meant something going forward. You had Natalya winning the number one contenders match. You had John Cena saving America by winning the flag match.
Yes.
So that was certainly a big deal. So I think the matches meant something, but I don't think that's I don't think that they were all that good, but certainly the outcomes were important in a lot of these matches.
Yeah, and of course you had and of course you have Great Khali being part of the Maharaja's team, it remains to be seen how big a deal that's going to be going forward. Maybe it's a one off. Maybe it's something that they're going to continue for several weeks.
Yeah, it could be.
So it's not.
I'm just thinking that it didn't really. My meaning of didn't mean anything because it didn't elevate nobody. Maybe Natalya got elevated. That was a good match between the Usos and New Day, but that feud gonna continue, and you don't know how much they'll drag it down by the continual booking on it. So my meaning of it didn't mean anything. I didn't really see too many people get elevated or somebody get lowered down. I just seen a bunch of people getting lowered down. Baron Corbin, Shinsuke, lowered down even more. The WWE title lowered down even lower than what it was already was. Kevin Owens and AJ, nobody seemed like they got elevated. It just seemed like another continuation to set up another match for SummerSlam. So no elevation for nobody, maybe except Natalya, maybe.
Yeah, I think you could make a case that Natalya got elevated by, you know, by beating Charlotte and pretty much, you know, in pretty much respectable fashion. Yeah, but I mean that's
and
that's one.
You know, I don't want to, you know, break into an argument over semantics, but I guess it really depends on what you mean by elevated. Like, if you were going into this show looking for someone to burst out of the pack and all of a sudden become a main eventer, that rarely happens on a single show. So
right.
I think that's – if you're going into the show looking at that, I think that's not really the way to look at it. I think you got to look at it from a heat perspective. Did anyone gain heel heat coming out of this? Did anyone gain babyface heat coming out of this? And from that perspective, I guess I could see the argument that not a lot of people gained a lot. I think New Day winning the title put them back solidly on the map for the tag team division. I think Natalya winning, like you said, raised her profile. But, yeah, there were not a lot of other, you know, Jinder Mahal. I think no matter how he wins at this stage, any way he retains the WWE title is going to push him up a little more in the fans' eyes. Because the longer he has the title, it's all about optics. The longer he has the title around his waist, the longer he's portrayed as a main eventer by WWE, the better chance he'll have to be accepted as a main eventer by the WWE universe.
Yeah, I know what the odds makers said, but this was too soon to take the title off of Jinder Mahal, I think. And I'm glad they didn't.
It really depends on what you want out of his run. You know, if you want to corner the India market, and if you are 100% putting the title on Jinder Mahal for that reason, then yes, I think it's too early to take the title off of him. If you are looking at SmackDown business, the ratings and things like that, and whether or not he's done well as a champion from an in-ring perspective, I wouldn't say so. So, you know, if you look at it from a non-Indian business perspective, I wouldn't argue with taking the title off of him here.
Right, but I mean, I think what they're going for here is they want to have, you know, they want to have an Indian wrestler who is seen as a main eventer, and I think, you know, minimum if he's, I mean, you can't just switch. You can't just do a quick switch and give him the title and take it away from him. He's got to win a few, and I think, you know, the absolute minimum amount of time, you know, he can hold it is. I mean, the earliest they should be thinking about taking him off of him is SummerSlam. And I don't know if that's in the cards, but you know, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, same here. My whole thing was, when looking at it, is do any of these matches make you want to watch any of these people further or follow their storyline any further? That's my whole meaning by it didn't mean anything. The stories didn't make me. It didn't mean anything because it don't make me want to watch it even more. Don't want to make me want to follow where this guy's going. Where the story going to lead him, or where this story leads this person, or how does it defer off to another path and go somewhere else. It don't drive interest into bringing people and bringing eyes to SmackDown or any other show. So that's why.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. Yeah.
That's a good point. I can't think. I mean, there were a few things that went okay tonight, but I'm not chomping at the bit to see Tuesday night. And that's not good after a pay-per-view. Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right, Drill.
Yes, sir. All right, y'all have a nice night.
Okay. Take care. 515-605-9345. We're going to take another message break, and when we come back, we'll dive even deeper into this because we still have people on hold and lots of them, and we'll get to all of you as soon as we can. So don't touch that dial, kids. The Wrestling Night in America will be right back after I push a few buttons here.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan, but you might like MMA too. And if so, check out our sister site, MMATorch.com, with live fight event coverage, including UFC pay-per-views, previews of all UFC and Bellator events, the daily news digest, exclusive columns, flashbacks, and much more. Check it out. If you're a fan of MMA, you'll be a fan of MMATorch.com.
Wrestling Night in America continues here on PWTorchLivecast.com. Torch columnist Pat McNeil, Torch columnist Greg Parks, unpacking the WWE SmackDown brand Battleground pay-per-view tonight, which featured a lot of American baby faces taking on foreign menaces. And the show was not that great. It could have been better, although we will give credit to an excellent tag match in the opener. The number is 515-605-9345. Got an email, Greg. Joe from Philly thought last week's Wrestling Night in America was awesome and is looking forward to this show. And supposedly he'll be calling in at one point, so I'm excited about that. Hopefully we can get him in. But right now we're going to go to... Well, we have an anonymous caller. That's always good. Okay, anonymous, you are on Wrestling Night in America. Please give your name and town. Hello.
My name is Craig, and I'm from Toledo, Ohio.
Of course you are. How are you doing, Craig?
I'm well. How about you guys?
We're just having fun here.
Awesome.
Enjoy. We're basking in the glow of the Punjabi prison.
I really appreciate you guys doing this this show and this new Saturday night thing, and Cam and Trav doing their thing. I like the voices. I like the callers. They're kind of like a compliment to the product.
Yeah. Okay.
Week. And I really appreciate you guys doing this. So my main point was that it's all about managing expectations as far as I'm concerned, and mm-hmm. I've managed expectations for a while as far as these pay-per-views are concerned, and usually when I have low expectations, the pay-per-view like exceeds those expectations. And I came into this one with really low expectations, but it went under those expectations. This is so bad.
Mm.
And so, and I'm looking in the future, and I'm looking at the SummerSlam that's coming up, and me and my friend are going to New York. We're not going to SummerSlam. We're going to NXT, but we're going to stay in New York, and we're going to watch the show there.
Okay.
But really not looking forward to my expectations are really low for the SummerSlam card. I was wondering what your guys' card are.
You're wondering,
considering that there's going to be 9 title matches and then like maybe 5 other matches, and where is there a possibility for a third ladies match, a women's match to fit in there? Like, because Becky and Charlotte might be left off. You know, there's all these Asha, Bailey, all these people might be off the card. So is there a chance for 3 women's matches? And I'll get off and listen. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Craig. So Greg, you're telling me there's a chance. Will we get I'm guessing we'll get whatever Alexa's doing at SummerSlam, because they ran SummerSlam ads during the pay-per-view and Alexa was all over them. We got Naomi and Natalya. I mean, it's not out of the question we get a multi-woman match in there somewhere.
And I would expect this show to be, and I don't know if it's been officially announced as such, but a 4-hour show. So there would be more time.
They did actually, they did say 7 p.m. start time, so that's a 4-hour show. Plus, usually on these quarterly shows, you get the 2-hour pre-show.
Yeah, so... You know, I don't know necessarily that all the title matches, all the titles will be defended on this show. You could do 2 women's SummerSlam matches, 1 for each brand for the title, and then if you do a 3rd, that could be on the pre-show. They could end up, like you said, Pat, if it's a 2-hour pre-show, and I don't know if that it's going to be, but it certainly could be, if it's a 2-hour pre-show, you could do, 3 pre-show matches during that time, 1 being a women's match. So if you cheat a little and say if you count the pre-show as part of the SummerSlam card, then yeah, I think there's a possibility you could have 3 women's matches.
Yeah, but I mean, I will say that, okay, I was going to probably get into this later. I will say that the women's matches don't seem like as much of a priority, but all in the past several days and with what's going on at the what went on in the Mae Young Classic, spoiler alert, you know, Shayna Baszler's in there, and yes, Shayna's friends, including Ronda Rousey, were in the crowd, and they have been talking to Ronda Rousey for a few years. You know, if they do Ronda Rousey and, say, Charlotte at WrestleMania, that, you know, depending on how the rest of the card looks, that might be the time to pull the trigger and give the woman the main event. And that would be a big change from the way things look right now.
You mean the main event for SummerSlam?
No, the main event for WrestleMania. If Ronda Rousey's wrestling Charlotte, for example.
Oh, geez.
And I think I would be stunned if Ronda Rousey's wrestling someone and, you know, right now, and it's not Charlotte, based out of what I'm seeing on the roster.
Yeah, Charlotte would probably be the best bet. I don't know that that's a WrestleMania main event match, but, you know, they could set something up. Are you looking at SummerSlam at them setting something up for that, or were you making the argument that a third women's match would be on the show with some of the four horsewomen?
I'm not even talking about SummerSlam. I think the four horsewomen thing is going to play out as part of the Mae Young Classic, and that's going to go, into September. But if they start something there, you know, they could spend 6 months building up to Ronda Rousey wrestling in WWE for
sure.
The first time, and you know. And really, I mean, I don't think it's going to matter that she's not winning in UFC if that happens.
No, I agree. I don't think that really matters either if they're setting something up for WrestleMania.
Okay, let's look in on the chat room. Well, let's see here. DJ Booger asks, how many more times is Randy Orton going to get screwed over? Jinder can't win on his own. Weak champion. WWE prefers the term vulnerable champion. So not weak champion, but... But, yeah, I understand your point. Let's see. Sam Weiss, other than the first match, which was fun, the rest was crap to offensive. Okay. And, yeah. Geez. Not very positive reaction here from the chat room, but I guess I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Not a lot positive to say.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's see. Dysfunctional family of torch callers. Okay, yeah, that's a good way to put it, iconic one. All right, let's see. Well, let's see if we've stirred up anything. Going to go to 781 area code. This looks like Mike from Boston, who I'm guessing is not Mike Kanellis, but we'll give it a call anyway. Mike, you're on the PW Torch live cast, Wrestling Night in America.
Hey, guys, thank you for having me on, and yeah, put me in that long line of folks who were very disappointed with tonight, aside from the opening match, which I thought was fantastic. This seemed like the very definition of a time filler pay-per-view before you get to SummerSlam. Just not a lot of import. I guess my question is, we were talking a moment ago about opening, you know, Jinder Mahal and opening up the Indian market. My rebuttal to that is I have no problem with Mahal being essentially have three Indian performers in the roster, two of which serve as just basically punching bags for your baby face, and then you have a heel champion that can't win on his own. So if you were a wrestling fan in India, what would that tell you about how your countrymen are being presented, and would that make you a fan or make you want to invest in the product if that's what you were seeing? Like, I don't think that you'd want to present the Indian roster in that way if you were hoping to bring on new fans in that market.
Well, I guess, Mike, my answer would be you don't see things the way Vince McMahon sees things. And, you know, I doubt the way that WWE sees their ethnic wrestlers is going to be news to anybody who's been watching the product for a while. There are people who watch the shows in India. They don't have a big pay-per-view market, but with WWE Network, they don't really need one. Greg?
Right.
Well, you know, he's done enough in promos, Jinder Mahal has, to where you can kind of say what he says would make him a heel in America, but would still keep him babyface in India. But you're right. Once the bell rings and the matches begin, he's only beaten Randy Orton basically with the help of the Singh brothers throughout the match. And that's a straight-up heel tactic. There's no babyface argument for that. So that's I think, a tougher sell as a babyface to the fans of India than his promo work, which I think does a better job of riding that line.
Right. I definitely agree with that. And I guess my second question is with regards to AJ Styles, who I feel like he's really been just kind of adrift ever since the Royal Rumble and that fantastic match he had with Cena. And I believe the general thought heading into WrestleMania was if he carried Shane to a great match, he would be rewarded for making the boss's son look great, which, you know, he did. Just seems like he hasn't had much to do of import since then. He seems really adrift. And do you think that's partly how Vince sees wrestlers that weren't necessarily brought up in the WWE system? Because it looks like for about a 6 to 8 month period last year, that wasn't an issue, that he was that one guy that kind of broke through that typical barrier guys have if they made their name elsewhere. Now it seems like he's been shuttled back down the card and just not given anything to do, despite being, I think, what I would say is one of the more popular wrestlers on the brand overall, and also, I think, hands down, their best performer, their best in-ring performer.
Yeah, that's fair, I think. If I had to make a guess on it, I know that, you know, a couple months ago the talk was, well, he's going to be either the champion or fighting for the title at WrestleMania 34. This thing ebbs and flows. They're not going to give guys long title reigns. They don't really, I mean, that's the exception rather than the rule in WWE. So if AJ is on the back burner and he's fighting Kevin Owens for the U.S. title, then that's par for the course. I think they like AJ. I don't think they see him as a John Cena, Roman Reigns, you know, guy who carries the brand. And I don't expect that they're going to put him, they're going to give him the title back for any real length of time. Greg?
Fighting Kevin Owens for the United States title is certainly a step down from the main events, but it's not a really big step down because Kevin Owens has experience as a main eventer too. So I think, Pat, you kind of hit on it, is the cycling through of main event guys. They want to push Jinder Mahal for their reasons as the top heel on SmackDown, and then probably to give Mahal the credibility that he would need as champion, especially coming from where he came from recently. They needed a legacy star to put him over. And so Randy Orton is that babyface who's been on top of WWE for, 15 years now. And he's the kind of guy who can give Mahal the rub he needs for fans to take Mahal seriously as a main eventer. Maybe they don't think Styles was that guy. I think if we had Styles in the main events fighting over the title and he was losing on 3 pay-per-views in a row to Jinder Mahal, we'd have complaints about that too. So
we would.
Styles isn't really in a terrible position right now. He can kind of lay low and do his thing. And, he's a guy who I think, especially with John Cena as a babyface and his time dwindling down now, Styles is a guy who they could use to main event pay-per-views, certainly main event SmackDowns when they need it. Like Pat, you said, he's not a Roman Reigns, John Cena, give him the ball and have him carry it for 10 years type of guy, but he's a guy they can pop into the main events whenever they need somebody, because I think he's earned their trust at this point in his run.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see. What?
I was going to say that's okay, definitely fair points. I just think you could maybe run with him for 2 to 3 years as your top guy, and then see what you have come under him, because he's just so damn good. But guys, I really appreciate you taking the call. I know you have other callers, so I'll let myself go, and I look forward to listening to the show every week. Keep up the great work.
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you. Mike from Boston. And I know we're supposed to go to a break, but I do want to – we found Joe from Philadelphia, so let's get a live in-person report from the site of Battleground. Joe, you're on Wrestling Night in America. Hit it.
How you doing, Pat? How you doing, Greg?
We're great. What was it like?
Quick, but if you have any questions for me, go ahead and just shoot.
What was the crowd reaction for the main event?
So, I mean, Jinder got a pretty decent reaction. I mean, it looked kind of mixed, but you kind of heard more boos than cheers. Orton got a pretty fair reaction too. I mean, it wasn't really too heavy. I mean, there was some cheers when he was when he did the pose and all that, but other than that, I mean, it was kind of a fair match. There was a lot of good spots in that match with the Singh brother falling off the thing that got a big pop. Kali got a huge pop. I tell you, like, it was like Stone Cold walked out there. Oh my God.
I'm curious as to how difficult it was to see inside the prison from wherever you were sitting in the crowd.
Yeah, so I was in 106. I was like right across from the entranceway. So like, yeah, it was kind of hard to really see when they were coming out. I mean, when they were in the ring, it was a better view. When they went on the sides, it was pretty difficult to see, especially that moment where Kali was holding. Not a lot of people didn't know what was going on when he was grabbing them, but then you kind of seen, like, if you looked at the video screen, you kind of seen what was going on. But yeah, it was pretty difficult to just get a clear full view, like, on the rest of the whole match.
Well, that couldn't have helped. Were you able to see the screen, and maybe that was a little bit better? I don't know.
Well, in our section, they have like these things with the retired players and the flags hanging down. So even that, like, if we were like, I think we were row 25, so we were a little higher up in 106. I mean, it was clean view, especially for all the other matches. But
yeah,
it was really hard to see the screen all night, especially with the retired players banners up there. It was probably different for other people in different seats, but from my perspective, it was pretty hard to see it.
Okay. Well, it wasn't exactly. I mean, they had cameramen inside the prison, which helped us a bit. But you know, in some parts of the match, there really wasn't that much to see. Greg,
I'm curious as to what your reaction of the show was as a whole. I think in looking at my Twitter feed and in taking callers and monitoring the chat room as we've done here tonight, pretty roundly criticized show. And I'm wondering if that was your perspective live as well, or did it come off better for you guys watching it live?
I mean, anytime I go to a show, I enjoy it. But this one in particular, there was a couple things that were a little downs for me, like the finishes of Corbin and Nakamura and the finish of AJ and Owens. A lot of people didn't even catch what happened with Owens and AJ. They didn't even see. Some people didn't even. It was like so quick, and it wasn't like, it was very anticlimactic. Also, with the Corbin Nakamura, was pretty disappointing. It didn't actually look like, from my point of view, it didn't look like a low blow. At first, it looked like he got like the side of the leg. And then when you've seen the replay, you've obviously seen that he got like a clean shot. But yeah, I mean, a couple lackluster endings. Sammy got a huge pop. I mean, it was a pretty entertaining show. I'm gonna say it was entertaining. I mean, I was talking about Kali earlier. I was like, you know, Punjabi prison. I remember when Kali was Jinder's brother-in-law and doing all that stuff. And then it was just like so funny to see him just come out. It was really a big moment. I mean, not as big when you look at it in the retrospect. I mean, it's Kali. I mean, he's a great guy and he's probably. I mean, well, he's a former world champion, but it's just bigger because I feel like they were expecting something at the end of the match to really make it, because everybody knew Jinder was going to win. I mean, everybody knew it, especially with Cena beating Rusev and then Zayn beating Canales the match before. I mean, they got a lot of faces in to get the crowd popped a little bit, especially Zayn. I mean, a lot of people popped for him winning. So, but, I mean, other than that, yeah, I mean, it was an entertaining show at that. I was entertained by it. I mean, there's a lot of things you can fix, a lot of things in WWE that need to be fixed, obviously, but... I mean, it was, for what it was, you can give or take it, I take it.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you had a better time than a lot of the people seem to be watching it.
Yeah, I think it's just a better experience live. And I haven't been one in a little while, so, like, you know, I was really excited for it anyway. And, yeah, I was let down by a lot of the finishes, like I said. But, I mean, overall, it was just really cool to see everybody. And just, it was pretty great experience, especially when I tell you, that whole stadium, I mean, like, really, the whole stadium jumped when Kali came out. It was nuts. It was insane.
Okay. No, that's good to know. All right. Thanks a lot, Joe.
Now, could
and
I
ask
you a question real quick?
Yes, please.
Just real quick, and then you can move. I know you got some callers. I'll just say it, and then I'll log off. So I just wanted to say, do you think that I probably missed this earlier? You may have went over this as I was walking home. I didn't get the call in, but I just wanted to know if you did answer and go through quick. But do you think Holly's going to be around for a little longer, and he's going to have a bigger impact? And you think this is going to move into a story, Randy? I mean, does this give Jinder like he's got a whole posse now, to be honest with you. And I just wanted your thoughts on that. And thank you very much, and have a good night.
Okay, thanks. We have a difference of opinion on this. I think Kali's around till SummerSlam, and I'm starting to think, because it doesn't really make – it's a long trip back and forth. They just might keep him around for the TV shows for that month. Greg seems to think it's a one-off. So, we're going to find out, I think, pretty soon, you know, within the next 48 hours. So we'll have that going. Yeah, I mean, I think it's just another – I think it's probably good to have another obstacle for people to go through who want to beat Jinder Mahal.
Yes, because we haven't seen enough – we've seen the Singh brothers be that obstacle way too often. It's about time it's not like Jinder can win ever on his own. You know, that's not allowed. So instead of, you know, taking things to have him win cleanly, let's throw another object in the babyface's way, and another excuse that we can give the babyface for why they didn't win, and another crutch that Jinder Mahal, the heel, can use to win, because all heels need a crutch to win.
Well, I mean, Randy Orton just lost to Jinder 3 times in a row. He needs a whole lot of excuses for that, I think. So.
Yeah, and he's got him, too.
Yeah, he does. All right, well, tell you what, we're on that note, we are going to take a timeout. When we come back, more of Wrestling Night in America post-Battleground edition. Don't touch that dial, kid.
You love pro wrestling podcasts, but you might not have time to listen to all of them. We'll help you decide which ones to listen to and keep you up to date on the ones you're missing at pwpodcasts.com. That website features written recaps of all of the top pro wrestling-related podcasts, including Steve Austin, Bruce Pritchard, Edge and Christian, and so on. Check it out. It's pwpodcasts.com, your home for written recaps of all pro wrestling personality hosted podcasts.
Wrestling Night in America returns here, the post-battleground edition on pwtorchlivecast.com. I'm Pat McNeil. He is Greg Parks. And we are still taking your calls, 515-605-9345. As a matter of fact, Greg, we do have somebody standing by. Jordan from New Rochelle. Jordan, you're on Wrestling Night in America. Hello.
Hey, what's up, guys? I thought this was a pretty good pay-per-view. I mean, it may just be the nostalgia talking because I'm 18. But when Kali came out, I lost it. I thought the main event, it dragged a little, and I got to admit it was boring at some times, but the last 10 minutes, I was locked. I mean, I feel like every time Orton gets his hands on the, what are they called? The Singh brothers, he just turns up, and then the match just gets electrified. I know it was an accident, I think, the first time he did the suplex. I think it was at Money in the Bank. He botched a move, but the crowd really got fired up. So I know as soon as he got his hands on both of them, that the match was going to take a great turn for the better, and it did. I feel like the crowd got electrified when Orton started, like, going at them. And it was a great spot when he fell off of the structure and hit the, I think, I forget what brother it was, but him crashing through the announce table, I thought that was a perfect spot. But my question is, what do you think, because I heard people saying, oh, Corbin should have cashed in tonight, but I was like, no, if anything, they made Kali look strong by saying, why would Corbin cash in? He's got to go through Kali, the Singh brothers, and then he's got to defeat Jinder Mahal. So what they should do is have built somebody else up, maybe an AJ Styles or another babyface, have him conquer the great Kali, the Singh brothers, and then Jinder Mahal finally get to the mountaintop, and then right when he's celebrating, Corbin comes out and steals it. Do you think that's a possibility down the road? Maybe at SummerSlam, possibly?
I think that they're going to avoid having Corbin's, you know, cash in on Jinder Mahal. But I mean, whichever babyface beats Jinder, you know, a lot of people are expecting Corbin to cash in right away and you know, give the next champion a 5-minute title reign. Greg?
No, it really all depends on who Jinder does end up facing at SummerSlam. If it is John Cena, for example, I don't think you'll see Cena go through Kali and the Singh brothers, beat Mahal, and then have Baron Corbin come out and beat him. Although with Cena's limited schedule, it would give him another title to add to his mantle without having to defend it. And it would certainly put Corbin over big by having him beat John Cena, but I just don't see that happening as Cena's the opponent at SummerSlam.
Unless they can write the storyline like that.
Plus, I mean, if he is facing Cena, you know, giving Jinder a win, no matter how screwy it is, would really make Jinder seem like a main eventer. Yeah, that doesn't seem likely though. You know, now that I'm thinking about it. Oh well. All right. What else are you thinking about this show, Jordan? I mean, you said you liked Great Khali coming out. How did you feel about Cena and Rusev in the flag match?
It's so frustrating because I like Rusev and he's really good. I mean, I wish they would just put the jetpack on him already. I mean, let's be honest. If you thought Cena was going to lose like this match, I mean, you must have been smoking or something. Cena doesn't lose America versus foreign matches. I was telling my brother this because he was like, oh, who knows? They may have him lose. And I'm like, what are you saying? This is Cena in an America versus foreign match. So Cena never loses those. Plus, we're in America, so how does it look? So I thought overall that was a pretty good match. What killed me was we all knew what the outcome was. I thought the first match with the New Day, I think that's the best match of 2017 for first matches. I don't think we've had a first match to kick off a pay-per-view that was that electric. The fans were into it. There was great spots when Xavier Woods jumped off the top rope and then I think one of the brothers, I forget who they are, they look identical basically, hit him with I think he hit him with a boot to the face. That was a great spot. I thought this whole pay-per-view was really good. Even with the women, I was so happy that Natalya won because everybody thought Charlotte was going to win because of the booking. All right, so Becky Lynch beat Charlotte. All right, so Becky's not winning. So everyone thought Charlotte was going to win. And I'm so excited that we can finally see the athleticism of Naomi go up against the veteran presence that's Natalya, because I think she stated they haven't fought each other yet one-on-one. So I think that could be a unique matchup. They could put even a submission style stipulation onto it because Naomi now has that submission finisher. I think that could be a good stipulation they could add. Overall, I thought this, and finally Sami Zayn got a win. So I thought this was actually a really good pay-per-view. Yeah. Like, probably I'm biased because the people who I like won, but I think I would give this a B+, A-, which leads me to kind of my last question for both of you guys. Is it just I'm 18, so I grew up watching The Great Khali. Is it just the nostalgia speaking, or are you craving one more match with The Great Khali? Do we see I know it may be the nostalgia talk. Yeah, I may still be high off the nostalgia, but do you think we could? I know he's limited now because he is a little older, but maybe you put him in with AJ Styles and he covers his weaknesses. I don't know. It may just be the little kid in me saying, "Oh, one more match." But I think you could pull it off with AJ, maybe a tag team match or something. What do you think?
I suppose you could pull off one more match with Great Khali and AJ Styles, but the question is, do you really want to?
Yeah.
I'll say I think it speaks to the quality, in my opinion, anyway. And I'm glad you enjoyed the pay per view. That's great.
Yeah.
But I think it speaks to the quality when an appearance by the Great Khali in 2017 is one of the most exciting things that happened on this pay per view.
Yeah, Well, New Day won, so yeah. And,
that's
and
true.
You also got
yeah,
a, you also got to remember, because I was listening to another podcast before this about the post show at Battleground, and they brought up a good point that a lot of kids, but the demographic for people in their 20s, males, they grew up watching the Great Khali, or they grew up seeing the goofy, I guess you could say, baby face side of him. So it may just be that it was a friendly face that we remember from our childhood or something that
yes,
the main event.
The Punjabi Playboy, yes, I remember.
If they bring back
the
Khali kiss, if they bring back the Khali kiss cam in lieu of having him wrestle in one last match, I'll be okay with that.
Well, they did tease that with I don't know if you saw, but Natalya posted on her Instagram like references to that with the Great Khali backstage. So hey, you never know. I mean, good or bad publicity, it's all the same. I mean, they should ride this wave. I mean, they should maybe package him saying he'll be on SmackDown. Who knows? Maybe you could boost the ratings and you could get a good TV out of it. Like you guys said, anything could really happen.
Yep, that's true. You know, we say anything can happen, and some shows like this, it feels that way. Right,
yeah.
Greg?
Oh, yes.
Well,
okay, Jordan.
That's all I got,
well,
guys. Thanks for taking my question.
Appreciate it. No problem, Jordan. All right, 515-605-9345. We the lines are open except for this one important call that we just have to take. We're going to go to Australia, where Jason is standing by. Hello. Welcome to Wrestling Night in America.
And welcome to Wrestling Afternoon in Australia. Thanks, Pat and Greg.
Fair enough.
I only got to watch the first match and the last match, and I've seen some highlights of the others. And I looked on the social media. I looked on social media, and obviously there was a fair bit of backlash towards the show. A lot of people weren't happy. Jordan was, but most people weren't. And I guess I'll put it down to this. I think the past several weeks, SmackDown, I think the overall tone, and I think they're suffering when you put them up against Raw. When you look at Raw's main event scene, we've got four badasses going against one another. We've got Strowman, we've got Joe, we've got Lesnar, and I put Reigns in there, despite the fact he's not casting the right character. He's still a badass. We've got these four guys that are going at it. They're cutting heated promos. They're coming across very realistic. And we're all thinking about how these main eventers are going to match up with each other for SummerSlam, for WrestleMania. There is a general excitement in the air with what's going on Raw. And a lot more realistic, I would say, too. And you go over to SmackDown, we've got Jinder Mahal, Kevin Owens, and Rusev cutting anti-American promos, the anti-American type of character, very sports entertainment-y type of characters. And I think that people are subconsciously picking up on that. I mean, it's bad enough to have one anti-American character on the show, but to have three of them, Kevin Owens is better than talking bad about America. So is Rusev. Jinder Mahal, I can understand for one feud, but I think it's just the overall tone and the characters. And when you look at SmackDown, who are the badasses on SmackDown? Who are you going out of your way to say, well, you've got to tune into SmackDown to watch this guy because he's kicking ass? They could have done that with Nakamura, but the boat has sailed on him. They're not going back there. And obviously, you could have pushed AJ Styles as the top guy, but they want to keep him in this 50-50 feud with Kevin Owens. And Jinder Mahal's cutting these very straight out of the 1980s anti-American type of promos. You've got Randy Orton, who's not the type of babyface which elicits people coming on board with him. I think they're really suffering with their tone, especially when you compare it to Raw, and this is the type of pay-per-view that you get.
Okay, that's a very good point, Jason. I want to touch on just one of the things you said with Greg. The promos, Greg, you know, I mean, other than John Cena giving his rah-rah promo and AJ Styles declaring that Kevin Owens wasn't man enough to be U.S. champion, I mean, where were the good promos out of this?
There really weren't any. And that's a problem, especially when you have three storylines that are so very similar on one brand. You know, it's not even split up amongst the brands. They're all on SmackDown, this anti-American versus pro-American stories that we're seeing in three different incarnations here. And I tweeted something during the show, something similar to what Jason was saying, and I said something to the effect of, you know, you look at the last Raw brand pay-per-view, and it was Joe and Lesnar in the main event, two bulls, you know, in a fight that people wanted to see, and there was a lot of anticipation about, you know, what was going to happen. Like, it was two tough guys going at it. And then you look at the SmackDown brand main event, pay-per-view main event, and it's Randy Orton and Jinder Mahal in this gimmicky, nonsensical Punjabi prison match. And I think if you look at the main events of the last two branded pay-per-views, you see the stark difference between the brands right now as it stands.
Yeah, that's a definite. You're not get. I mean, that is the one thing that is really missing from SmackDown is the badass. And, you know, Rusev's not going to be that guy. I know they want John Cena to be that guy, but that he's a strong guy. He's not, you know, he's a PG guy. I wouldn't really call him a badass.
No. And there really are no others. Randy Orton, I guess, is the closest to that, but he's coming off three main event pay-per-view losses in a row now on the SmackDown brand. But
yeah,
I think he's always been kind of pushed as a badass, the Viper and everything like that. Mike Kanellis is out. I don't think he's going to be.
No, I don't think Mike Kanellis is going to pull that one off. Oh, well. Yeah, that's the one thing that's missing. I you know, maybe after SummerSlam, Vince will send one of the badasses over to SmackDown. But I mean we didn't really hear any good rationales. I guess the Usos and No Day had a battle rap where they battle rapped against each other. I don't think we're going to get a battle rap between Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns over on Raw.
Yeah,
and I don't need
one. No.
Yeah.
I guess for me, guys, like I said, it's just the overall tone of SmackDown. It's coming across it's just lacking a bit of realness. Very, you know, Jinder Mahal cutting those 1980s style of promos. You got Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens is much better than being anti-American. I would argue Rusev too. When you compare it, and I think Raw's been doing pretty good lately. So when you start comparing them. And I know they probably think that they want to give the best of both worlds, but I think SmackDown is really lacking. I mean, how you've got three, as you mentioned, Pat or Greg, three anti-American storylines and characters on the same show. I mean, it's a disconnect for me because I'm just done with this whole anti-American stuff. And I think you guys as Americans are sick of it too. Rusev and Kevin Owens are better than this. And, you know, you want to talk about a badass, and I know Kevin Owens is a great heel. But of all the badasses that you could promote, Kevin Owens has that. The Fight Owens Fight mantra, the KO initials. If you want to turn someone into a hot baby face, and you'd have to do a couple of role switches. But to me, you've got it right there in Kevin Owens. I mean, I think a lot of people would love to see him take it up to a Baron Corbin as a baby face against the heel. Swap a couple of characters over. He's the guy that's got the marketability behind him. But just when you're comparing SmackDown to Raw, I really worry about what SmackDown are going to put towards the SummerSlam lineup. And just going to the women's match, I didn't get to see it, and I saw Natalya got pulled over, which I'm happy for her. But, you know, you look at Charlotte. She came over as a draft pick. JBL was pushing her as the best draft pick that they have. She has really, really fallen down by the wayside. And for me, I'm just such a big fan of hers. I mean, I put all my chips in on Charlotte, and she'd be my top star, but that soft baby face turn, she's got no heat behind her. I feel like she's really lacking. They've got to do something to boost her up because, in my opinion anyway, Charlotte is where the money is, and they're just not doing enough with her. So I don't know what they're doing there with her.
I'm going to stick with my theory that if they are bringing in Ronda Rousey, the only logical person to have her wrestle would be Charlotte, and hopefully, you know, and hopefully they're building to that. But right now, it's, you know, it's, if you're
she's
a Charlotte fan, there's not much
she's
to get excited
heat.
About.
I don't want to see that match. I don't want to see that match because, I mean, she's got no heat behind her. I mean, she's still speaking in the same type of heelish tone. I don't want to see Charlotte versus Ronda Rousey because Charlotte, I don't believe she'd be able to do anything. She's got no heat behind her.
They're not doing the match tomorrow. So, I mean,
yeah,
you know,
that's fortunate.
They'll have plenty of time if they do secure Rousey and they do decide that Charlotte is the one that they want to have fight her. They will make sure that Charlotte is ready for that. And they will, I'm sure, build her back up to where she was. I don't really have a problem with how she's being portrayed. I think she's more of a natural heel, obviously, than a babyface. But right now you've got Naomi, who's doing a nice job as a babyface champion on SmackDown. And it's her run right now. And I think if you built Charlotte up too strongly now, she would kind of overshadow Naomi. I think long-term Charlotte is going to be the one that they're going to build around. But I don't have a problem with her taking a back seat right now just because she was the focus of the Women's Revolution for so long, and they ran those Charlotte Becky Lynch matches into the ground, and then it was Charlotte Sasha Banks, and I mean Charlotte was on every pay-per-view, and I mean she was so the focus to the detriment of a lot of the other women. I do kind of like her taking a back seat right now to see what some of the others can do, even someone like Lana, who ended up flopping in her role, but it allowed her to have that chance, and now Naomi's got that opportunity with the title to kind of see what she can do as the top babyface of the brand.
Now, look, Greg, that's a fair point you raised there, and I understand what you're saying, but look, I'll leave on a positive note. Like I said, I saw the first match. I really think if they were to split up New Day, and I wouldn't mind seeing them doing that. I mean, I'd like it. If they're going to go their own separate way, I'd still like them to be friends. But I tell you what, Xavier Woods, to me, he has a lot of potential as a singles act. And to me, he's that type of guy that would definitely suit the United States title scene. I mean, I could see him wearing that. I could see him getting the crowd behind him. He could be a really good, solid mid-card babyface for them because he's got some great offensive moves. He gets the crowd behind him. I love the way he sells. So, you know, I came away even more impressed with him tonight after that match he had.
Well, I think, you know, for a while the theory has been that the New Day, those guys are more greater than the sum of their parts, and we might reach the point within a year or so where that's no longer true, and they can split them off. So, yeah, that's a possibility.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Pat. Thanks, Greg. Good show.
No problem. Glad to have Jason on. 515-605-9345. That's how you reach us. Tell you what, we're pretty well overdue, I think, for a break. We'll come back. We will get through. We will see if you have any more calls, emails, chat room questions, Twitter questions, and otherwise. And if we don't get that, if we don't get much more, we'll wrap things up. This is Wrestling Night in America on PWTorchLivecast.com.
Thank you for being a PW Torch Livecast listener. As of mid-July 2017, the PW Torch Livecast lineup has undergone some changes. My shows have moved to a new feed, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available at Podcast One, or just search Wade Keller in your podcast app. But there's tons of great content every week, including Saturdays at 6 Eastern, the new Deep Dive with Rich Fan, covering a single topic in professional wrestling in depth. Join him live with phone calls at 6 Eastern every Saturday. Sunday nights at 8 Eastern, it is Wrestling Night in America with Pat McNeil and Greg Parks, where they focus on the supercards, the big events coming up in pro wrestling, or review the latest one. That's at 8 Eastern, or following a live pay-per-view, if there's a live pay-per-view on that Sunday. And then check out MMA Talk for pro wrestling fans every Monday night at 7 Eastern, hosted by Mike Hisko and other MMA Torch contributors. It's a chance for fans of both pro wrestling and MMA who share that in common to talk about the latest happenings in the world of mixed martial arts. Tuesdays, it's the best of PW Torch Livecast, a handpicked episode from our history that gives you a chance to catch up on a show you might have missed back in our earlier years. And then the PW Torch Nostalgia Hour with Jim Valley is back. It used to be called Saturday Morning Wrestling. Now it's Wednesdays at 5 Eastern. He takes your live calls and interviews some of the big names from pro wrestling's past. And then Thursday nights, following GFW Impact, it's Mike McMahon and Andrew Sochak with a recap of the just-concluded Impact Wrestling show on Pop TV. So as soon as Impact goes off the air in the United States on Pop TV, join Mike and Andrew live right here at PWTorchLivecast.com. They'll be taking your calls. That's the new lineup of the PW Torch livecast. Great diverse mix of shows with a great group of hosts. Keep listening and keep spreading the word, and give us a 5-star rating over at iTunes with some kind comments in the listener comment section about which shows you like and why. That's PW Torch livecast, new lineup. Thanks for listening, everybody.
All right, Wrestling Night in America returns. I'm Pat McNeil. He's Greg Parks. We're on PWTorchLivecast.com, and we're also on PWTorch.com, the website which you can sign up for at PWTorch.com/GoVIP and become a VIP member, $10 a month, $99 a year, or you can stay on the free version of the website, stay on the livecast. You don't get everything that VIP members do, but you do get a good deal, and we're proud of that. Let's see what we have here. Let's see. On Twitter, there was somebody, our friend Stealth Power on Twitter, tweeted me a picture of a flaming dumpster. I don't know what he's trying to get. Do you have any idea what he's trying to get at there, Greg?
Well, I think he has encapsulated in a single image my feelings on this show.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, I yeah, that, it could have been a lot better. But we had some fun talking about it. They set up a I don't know. Yeah, it's not good. Let's you know, we've given our thoughts on the show. Let's talk about what's coming up on Raw tomorrow. What do you got? Oh yeah, that's right. Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins tomorrow on Raw in Washington D.C. will be taking on the entire Miztourage in a 2-on-3 matchup. Plus, it'll be Alexa Bliss fighting Bayley for a shot at the women's title. That's, you know, plus it'll be Finn Balor and Elias Samson. I don't know, Greg, what do you think? What do you think tomorrow night? We're going to get a good show to make up for some of what happened tonight.
Well, I hope so. And it's a good sign that more and more, it seems, Raw has been setting the table for future shows a lot better than they have. Well, you know, you just listed off Pat, 3 announced matches for tomorrow night. There are weeks where we go into shows and have no clue of any matches, and yet these are being announced a week ahead of time. And this isn't the first time lately that that's happened. So, you know, we talked about the difference of Raw and SmackDown booking as of late, and how Raw seems to be inching ahead of SmackDown, maybe even more than inching ahead as far as the quality of the booking. And I don't think it's a coincidence that it looks like they're planning ahead a little better than they have in the past as well.
Yes, I think also you can point out that these matches are really, they're more secondary matches. We don't know what's going to happen with Brock Lesnar, Samoa Joe, Roman Reigns, and Braun Strowman. And I think that and they might not know yet either, but I suspect whatever's going to happen is going to be something that we'll be talking about, you know, tomorrow night after the show's over, which is your goal here. Let's see. I would be surprised if they had any matches on SmackDown yet. I did not watch Talking Smack. I did see something on WWE.com where the Usos are vowing revenge against the New Day. So, but that's not really surprising. And I'd be disappointed, in fact, if they weren't talking about that.
Yeah, absolutely. They've ratcheted up the intensity the Usos have in their character, so they may be out for blood on SmackDown.
Okay. Let's see. So we got let me look at this here. Okay, did Corona Normans? Yeah, I don't think we really have anything lined up for Tuesday night yet, but we'll find out more. You know, next weekend, obviously we got the G1 tournament going on over in Japan, which Sean Radican has been tracking for us. Next week, also next Saturday, a big Ring of Honor show in Concord, North Carolina, near Charlotte. The Bullet Club's coming to town, Greg. Matter of fact, it is Cody Rhodes, Adam Page, and I want to say Marty Scurll in a 6-man against Bully Ray and the Briscoes, and that alone would make it worth the trip, I would say.
Yeah, that's something that could be a pretty hot 6-man tag match.
Oh, by the way, the Young Bucks are going to take on the Motor City Machine Guns in the semi-main event. Just in case you're curious. So, I think they're putting their best foot forward to North Carolina. So we got all that going on next weekend. We'll be starting the SummerSlam push, and it's going to be I'm going to find a guest, and we're going to have a very busy wrestling night in America next Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern. If you just normally tune in at this time, well, the show will already be up, so you can listen to it. So that's the beauty of on demand, I want to say.
Love it. I may go back and listen to it this time after we record it.
Depending on how well we do, I would say so. But that's yep. what we're going to be doing here every week. And we're glad that we're getting to do this, and we're glad that we're getting to do this for you guys who are listening. Got some nice people in the chat room. Got some mean people too, but they're all behaving pretty well. Thank you for all the calls you've given us this evening. We appreciate that, especially Joe calling in from Philly. We'll definitely be needing some call-ins next Sunday, and I would like to get call-ins from a couple of the. I think we got some live events coming up on Sunday. I will pull this, but off of my phone. But yeah, if you're going to a WWE show this weekend, you know, we will love to hear from you next Sunday night. And I think that going to the show is usually better than watching it on TV. I know you agree with that, Greg.
Yeah, I was.
Okay,
at,
so yeah,
I've always enjoyed the. Just quick story here. I was at the Raw one time. It was a 3-hour Raw before they were doing 3 hours every week, and it was. They had the dating game with Santino and was it Maria at the time or something like that? And they had Ron Simmons was one of that was a really bad Raw. But you know what? It being there live, I knew it was really bad. But still, there was an attraction there to be there live, and I'm sure watching it at home was 10 times worse. Being there live always makes it a little better, even when the show stinks.
Okay, well, here's what we got. Yeah, call in if you're going to the SmackDown show in Saginaw next Sunday, which will be still happening while we're on the air. You can call in. If you're going to the Raw show in Youngstown, Ohio, with of course the big dog Roman Reigns on it, call in. If there's anybody in St. Paul, Minnesota, I don't know if we know anybody in St. Paul, Minnesota, Greg, but there's a big NXT show Saturday night with Bobby Roode headlining. Please call in. Or you can email us, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. You can tweet us. You can get in our chat room. It's a lot of fun, and we're glad that you can join us every Sunday night, and we can catch each other up on what's been happening. Greg, always a pleasure. I know you're getting wired, and you should have something for everybody in the newsletter this week.
Absolutely. A little bit of a look at some of the language that WWE uses in their commentary and digging a little deeper beyond the meaningless cliches that they give out and actually delving in to see what they mean in the context of how they're used. So using a little bit of my linguistics background, my English degree to work on that one.
Okay. Well, if you use your English, I think actually Booker is making things up as he goes, but the other commentators, you might have something there.
Yes, Booker, I think will start a sentence and really not know where he wants to go with it, and just kind of wherever it takes him, he goes.
That's why I love watching Booker on Raw. I mean, David Otunga, you know, he's a nice guy when I see him on these shows, but you know, I don't have that sense of adventure when he opens his mouth, you know.
Ah, that's right. It's a roller coaster ride listening to Booker T.
Yeah, I think that's why Vince likes him, and I know that's why our listeners like him. Okay, thank you, everybody, again. Let's see, Wayback Playback is up, episode 150. In fact, if you want to hear Jim Valley and I start in on the 1990 Great American Bash, and a whole lot of Wade Keller podcasts. And if you're a VIP member, the roundtable should be up, plus lots of highlights from this weekend when Bruce and Wade and Travis Bryant went to the Hall of Fame in Waterloo, Iowa. So we will see. We thank you, and we will see you back here next week, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for more Wrestling Night in America. In the meantime, let's go to our friendly announcer who can tell you everything you get with a VIP membership.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I invite you to get even more of what the Torch offers by becoming a PW Torch VIP member. Not only do you get ad-free access to our website, the mobile site, and the desktop site, and access to about 30 years of our archives, including over 1,500 back issues and thousands upon thousands of hours of our audio shows going back to 2004, plus tons of retro radio shows from the 1990s. But you also get over 15 VIP exclusive podcasts per week, in addition to ad-free editions of these PW Torch livecasts throughout the week. So we take the ads out of the PW Torch livecast for VIP members and then give you over 15 other podcasts per week, including what started it all, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show. I host that with Bruce every weekend, and we spend a couple hours talking about the biggest stories of professional wrestling and wrestling history. It's one of the longest-running weekly pro wrestling podcasts on any subject, and it's one of the main reasons people go VIP and stay VIP. Another is The Fix with Todd Martin. I host that every midweek with Todd, and we get Todd's expertise and opinions every midweek on current events in professional wrestling, not just WWE, but all promotions worldwide, including New Japan. Plus, we end every show with some expert MMA talk from the LA Times columnist and SureDog contributor, Todd Martin. And there's so much more. The Every Single Day Weight Cover Hotline with news updates every single day, Monday through Friday. And every Saturday and Sunday, I do the SE Editor format of the Weight Cover Hotline, where I answer VIP member questions in depth. And there's so much more. There's the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, Wrestling Audio Community with Shad Radican, the WWE Future Pass Show with scouting reports on prospects and a look back at the indie career of current stars, the PW Torch East Coast Cast Extended VIP Edition, the retro radio shows. Every Thursday, a new retro radio show from the 90s drops, from the early 90s or the Attitude Era. And last but not least, my in-depth Raw and SmackDown reports. You can get a full chronological rundown of every episode of Raw and SmackDown with my analysis of the show in-depth every Monday night and Tuesday night. So check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. We give you a lot here at the livecast, but there is so much more. The vast majority of our work is for our VIP members, and you can become one today. Go check out details on a subscription at pwtorch.com/govip.